The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome. I hope you all had a great weekend. I had an interesting weekend and, you know, just normal kind of interesting stuff. And so there you go. Hey, look, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we can hear from you. And then we can call if you got a question, you got a comment. All you got to do, like I said, give me a call. All right. So we're having an end of year matching funds drive. So if you want to help out, you know, I don't advertise on the show. Well, the people do, you know, for the radio network, but I don't push the ads. I don't push my own stuff. So every now and then, however, I will talk about various things like end-of-year drive. And what we're doing is doing an end-of-year matching fund drive. So if you were to donate $10, it gets doubled to become $20. So whatever you put in, it gets doubled automatically. And if you're interested in doing that, all you got to do is go to carm.org, C-A-R-M.org, and on the bottom left-hand side, you'll see the navigation thing, and on the bottom left you'll see the word donate down there. You can check that out, or just go to carm.org/donate, and if you do that, you'll be able to go straight to the page. We take it to the P.O. box and whatever you want to do. So if you want to help us out, you want to do matching end of year matching funds drive, that's what it is, all you do is give me a call, or not get a call, you can just go there and donate. I'll let you know more about it. All right. What else? We got something else going. I can't remember what it is. Oh, I got a debate in 2 hours on limited atonement. And the link and information is on carm.org/calendar. So you can check that out. All the information will be there. It should be interesting. And we'll just see what happens. We have four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Now, I was talking to Charlie right before the air of the show. And one of the things I did over the weekend was get some social network stuff I've got going. And you know, last week I was telling people we got a Facebook page, Matt Slick Live Facebook page, and I put the link in of carm.org/Matt Slick Live. And you can go in and you can sign up. Turns out I reinvented the wheel. Turns out we already had one of them. I didn't even know. It wasn't in my normal list of links that I have, and I came across it. And so I'm kind of embarrassed about that, but we do have a normal Facebook Live page. And so I reinstituted the link up on carm.org/Matt Slick Live, so that you can go to the actual page that we have where the link is and stuff like that. And we already have 1.4 thousand members in it. And you can, if you haven't already signed up, please do. We're going to be doing all of our videos for the radio show at the end of the month here. We're going to move it strictly to Matt Slick Live Facebook and YouTube, and then also on Odyssey. And for those of you who might be tuning in new, Matt Slick Live is a radio show, and that's because my real name is Matt Slick, and this happens to work for radio. That's it. I think it's a little narcissistic. I don't like to use my name, stuff like that, but it's what it is. And they say it's a great name for radio. I have a great face for radio, too, apparently. All right, three open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Why don't we get to Rudolph from North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Man being created on the sixth day, and the number of a man. Are those two things connected?
Well, the number of man is six. There's a lot of people don't know this kind of stuff, but there's numeric patterns in the Bible. 12 disciples, for example, the 12 stones in the Urim and Thummim, the 12 tribes of Israel. And then when we have Greek letters and Greek letters and Hebrew letters, because the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, the New Testament's written in Greek, and letters with both Hebrew and Greek are also numbers. So when you write a word in both those languages, you get a mathematical value also. It's called gematria. And so Jesus in Greek is 888. And so that's, you know, whatever we're on. Circumcised on the eighth day, and Jesus rose on the eighth day, which is the first day of the week. So man was made on the sixth day. And the Antichrist, his number will be 666, which means that his name, added up either in Hebrew or Greek, or both, will be 666. And that's what that means. So there's a background for that, okay?
So is that why the man's number is 6? Because we were created on 6 days?
Yes. Yep. We were created on 6 days, so the number of man is 6. That's all. It's just real simple.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All right. God bless.
God bless.
Okay. Let's get to Dave from Kansas City. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Okay. When I was in Bible college, I learned the definition of the atonement was Christ died on the cross and his death was sufficient for the whole world, but efficacious only to the elect.
Yep.
And I had the scripture verses, but I lost them. What's your response to that?
Yeah, it's biblical. Because Jesus is God in flesh, the value of his blood is infinite. And so it's sufficient to save everybody. But the question then becomes, what's the legal grounds of the atoning work? Because sin is breaking the law of God, 1 John 3:4. And so Jesus bore our sin in his body. As people say, he paid for their sins. Payment is a legal thing. So if he paid for your sins, and sins breaking the law, therefore it's a legal debt, then the legal debt is dealt with. And so if he literally bore the sin of everybody who ever lived, then that would mean that everybody has to go to heaven because all their sin is paid for. Now people will say, well, no, it's paid for, but you've got to accept it. It's a non sequitur. So if I have a debt at a local store and someone, you know, a friend of mine just goes, hey, I'm going to go to the store, and he pays it off. Then he tells me, hey, I paid off your debt. You know, it's paid for. Okay, then the store can't call me up and hold me accountable for that. It's gone. It's paid for. That's what it means to be paid for. And so how could Jesus have paid for all of our sins and people still go to hell when they pay for the sins? Well, you got to accept it. It's irrelevant to whether or not the debt is paid, the sin debt's paid. And this is a non sequitur for a lot of people because they don't understand basic logic. They just understand how to think through this.
So my definition is fairly biblical, right?
It's sufficient.
Christ was sufficient for all, but efficacious only to the elect.
Yeah. Now, it's efficacious. Now, there's a different levels of being efficacious.
Okay.
Did Jesus bear the sin of everybody who ever lived? What do you think? Yes or no?
No. I think the world of the elect is where John 3:16.
Right.
God so loved the world of the elect.
Yeah, well, the word world, I believe, there in John 3:16 just deals with all the nations, because Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24. He was not sent to the whole world. But because Israel broke the covenant, then we, the Gentiles, are grafted in, and that's where the whole world issue comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there you go.
Okay.
Makes sense. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that was easy. Let's get to Wendell from Fort Worth, Texas. Hey, Wendell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Nice to hear you again. And, man, I really appreciate your wisdom and your intellect.
Are you sure you're talking to Matt Slick? Okay, just checking. All right. You said wisdom and intellect. I figured you might got a wrong number. But, okay. I'm listening.
Yes, sir. I'm quite sure I'm talking to Matt Slick.
All right.
I'm happy.
Okay.
Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30.
All right. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me to the land so that I would not destroy it, but found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with fire and wrath. Their way I brought the deeds, it declares the Lord. Yep. Okay.
Would you consider that a messianic prophecy?
I don't know.
How do we interpret it if that's not a messianic prophecy? topic?
Well, I would look for to see if it is referenced in the New Testament to be verified as a messianic prophecy. And so the context, as I'm looking, it just says the sins of Israel in the book of Ezekiel. And son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze, tin, right. Iron. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, they become dross as a silver, has melted the furnace, poured my wrath on you. And the word of the Lord came to me. That's Ezekiel, son of man, say to her, you are laid bare. Her princes, blah, blah, blah. I searched, and people then practice oppression, committed a robbery. Oh, man, it sounds like our country. And they have wronged the poor and the needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. I searched for a man. So, there was nobody there to intercede, to be good, to do what needed to be done in that land. And so God's wrath came upon them. Mm-hmm. Not a righteous man in the city.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't want to eisegete to take anything out of context, but there was no man. Then you go back to the book of Isaiah, which says, I brought it myself with my right arm. I did it. So is it proper to tie in the Ezekiel passage with the Isaiah passage to say, look, there was no man there, but God did this. I did it myself. I stood in the gap at Calvary between sinful man and a holy and righteous God. Does that work?
Yeah, that's later on, of course. It's been a while since I've read, even gone into Ezekiel at that level, so I can't comment too much on it. But the immediate context of Ezekiel 22 does not seem to be messianic, but it seems to be just a condemnation of Israel and how bad the nation is. And he can't find even a right person in there, and so his indignation is going to be poured out upon them. That's what it seems to be. Now, when you talk about the Isaiah passage, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Let's see if it's a parallel or something related.
I think it's Isaiah, I want to say 59, but...
For what? He carried our sins. That's Isaiah 53.
Yeah,
that would be different. Yeah, I wouldn't go and mix these. But you always got to do context first, and then see if the topic discussed in those different contexts is interrelated, and then you can look at them interrelatedly. And I don't see that here in Ezekiel. For that.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure, because if there was no man. Mm-hmm. To stand in the gap, the gap had to be bridged somehow. But of course, we're talking about different time periods. Okay, all right. I just don't want to get out there somewhere and say something wrong. It's going to lead people astray. That's all.
It's best just to let it sit inside of its immediate context, not apply anything to it unless it requires that, or is clearly messianic. And you'll know it's clearly messianic if the New Testament states that it is, but I don't know of any reference in the New Testament that talks about this. Now, there are differences between a quote and an allusion, A-L-L, allusion, to reference it without citing it. So that'll be interesting if I don't see that either. Okay?
All right. Okay. I want to thank you so much for receiving my call, and you have a wonderful and blessed day. If I don't talk to you, have a blessed Christmas.
You too. Thanks a lot. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right. I do that out of habit. All right, messed up on that. Let's get to Devin from Nampa, Idaho. Devin, right here in Nampa, huh? What do you got, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing all right. So what's up?
So I know that in our past conversations, we've talked about COVID and things like that, and like you've also talked about how it was developed, or the vaccines were developed using fetal cells.
Yes, human tissue, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, so I guess my question is, what's your stance on, like, modern over-the-counter medicine that's been developed, I guess, using the same thing, like, I guess, Tylenol?
Well, I would, if I know about it, I'm going to refrain from using it best I can. Okay. I don't want it to benefit from the killing of the unborn.
Right. Okay.
I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to. And there's a lot of ethical things there that are tough. And, you know, deciding how far you're going to go, you know, this is between that person and the Lord. And what I can tell you is that I don't want to take any medicine that has been developed through killing the unborn and profiting from it. It's just not what I want. I don't want that.
Right, right. Yeah, apparently that's what I was told too, and I've been taking Tylenol for years, and I was like, because I was talking to this person. I said, yeah, I don't really want to get the COVID vaccine because of a few reasons and because of the whole fetal cell thing. And then they're like, oh, well, right. I mean, Tylenol was developed too. And I'm like, oh.
Right. Yes, and the vaccines were, so one was developed using aborted fetal material. And all of them were, what's the word, not just developed, but in testing, they used aborted fetal material. And so I got the documentation on my website. But it's, you know, it's an issue. And it's something we Christians have to deal with.
Okay. Would you still advise somebody to not take it? Or is that like sort of...
There's a gray area here. And, you know, there is, okay, I'm trying to remember, there's a woman who had cancer back in the 50s or 60s or something like that, and she had a rare cancer, and they took the material of the cancer, and they've been growing it, and it's become a standard testing material. And it, in fact, the amount of material is greater than her whole body weight was initially. And so developing medicines out of that, I don't see a problem with that. It's not human. But what do you do? And this is the question that people have to decide. What do you do? Here's the thing, like the Nazis. They experimented on the Jews in concentration camps. And they learned a lot of valuable information about the human body. And that information can be used to save people. So now what do you do? Do you go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to use the information, even though it was gained through the torture of people? Do you say their deaths might be in vain if we don't use it? Or do you say, I don't want to participate in benefiting from that back then? Well, what if it was done, you know, back in the 40s like it was, and it's like 80 years ago almost? Well, is there a time span when, well, you know, the medical information, now it's just on paper, and we benefit from the words that they learn from paper that they, for those experiments. See, this is not easy to just wade through and say, yes, no, that's good, that's bad. And this is why I say that people need to make up their own minds about this. If they have something that's been used on a material that... And here's a question to ask. If aborted fetal material from 60 years ago, not that it makes it okay, it was then or yesterday, but and millions are being saved, so to speak, then we have a question we have to ask. Is it worth it? And then where do you get the standard of if it's worth it or not? So this is just a very, very difficult question to answer. And I can't say it's absolutely yes or absolutely no. And so I say, in my opinion, I don't want to participate in the benefiting from the death of Nazi, of the Jews in Nazi camps. I don't want to benefit from vaccines made from aborted fetal material, human. I just don't want to. Now, then there's an issue. So what if my wife's in the hospital and she's unconscious, and there's this new drug that has a 98% chance of saving her life. And it was developed in, with fetal material from, it was developed 20 years ago. What do I do? You know, this is a tough situation. Do I say, nope, and then my wife dies? Or do I say yes and save her, and she's benefiting, but it's not her choice because she's unconscious? So you see, this kind of stuff is not easy to deal with. It's just not easy to come up with quick answers. And I can't. I hate to tell you that. I wish I could just say, this is what we should do, what we shouldn't do. But I can't do that.
Gotcha, yeah. Because I know that I was taking a philosophy class at some point, and I guess I raised the question, like, something about does the world benefit from, you know, human, I guess, like, you know, basically medical type, you know, what the Nazis did, like, was it, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And so I would like to sit in on a panel of ethical ethicists, Christian philosophical ethicists, who want to take the principles as much as possible and then apply them the best we can. And it is, like I said, I'll say it again, it is not easy to do. It is not easy to do. Okay. So.
All right. Sorry.
No, I have to say, it's just not easy. I don't have any definitive answers for you, okay?
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, man. Well, God bless. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. That's one of the most difficult things to answer, folks. It really is. It's not as simple as some may say. And the scriptures don't declare anything about it that I'm aware of. So it makes it even tougher. Three open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Brandon from Ohio. Hey, Brandon, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Matt. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got?
I got a question here. I was wondering, what do you think about somebody who leaves Reformed theology or Roman Catholicism and then calls Calvinism satanic and blasphemous? Is it a case of 1 John 2:19?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. They were not from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. So someone who would say something like that is just woefully ignorant. We got to break. So I want you to hold on because it's worth discussing. Because a lot of arrogant, foolish people out there who say things like that. Maybe they should. So hold on, buddy. Three open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We're right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Brandon, you still there?
Yeah. Hello.
All right. So is this a friend of yours who says that, or you just heard?
It's actually somebody who does teaching on YouTube, and it's disappointing to see them trade a...
What's this person's name?
...a gospel. Sam Shamoon.
Oh, my goodness. Sam is now saying Calvinism is satanic?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Sam has problems. And, you know, I know Sam. I've met him. People know, you know, to let people know. We've fellowshipped together. We've done stuff together. Got his cell number. But if he's saying that, that's something that I need to address then. So, no,
yeah,
Calvinism
is not satanic. Yeah, he actually sent a private message to a friend.
It was sent in a private message?
Sam Shamoon did to a friend of mine, calling them demonic and satanic for following Calvinism.
Okay. Well, I could say a lot, but we've had private conversations about stuff like that. So Sam's blowing it. And I'll also say publicly he's blowing it. And it's unfortunate. So, Yeah, and there's a lot of people who know him and know him well who have known him for years. He's brilliant when it comes to Islam. He is. He's just nothing but brilliant. That's a fact. But he's blowing it. He's just flat out blind. Okay. All right.
Yeah, we all need to pray for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we do. We need to pray for him and for his repentance. But yeah, see, what Calvinism teaches is that God from all eternity, since he knows all things, knows exactly what his will in all things will be, and is working all things after the counsel of his will, and that God has predestined people for salvation. It's not dependent upon their goodness or their ability, but upon God's mercy and grace, because people's goodness is not good, and their ability is sinful. And so Christ came to redeem the ones given to him by the Father, and that he bore their sin, and he rose from the dead, and all who put their faith and trust in him will be saved. And that's what Calvinism teaches. And it teaches that man is totally depraved, and that sin has touched all of what he is, and that that effect of sin incapacitates the unbeliever to the point where he cannot freely choose Christ of his own free will, sinful free will. So that God has to intervene. And if anybody prays and asks God to change someone's heart, and he's praying like a Calvinist, Lord, change his heart. That's what Calvinists would say. God's got to do it. And, you know, God has chosen people for salvation, not based on any good thing in them, but in what's good in God. And that irresistible grace does not mean that we can't resist God's grace. It means at the time of regeneration, that God's regenerative work upon you cannot be resisted. That's what that means. And then because of Christ's great work, we will persevere in the faith, and that God is indwelling us and working it, guaranteeing it within us. This is what Calvinism teaches. And people call that demonic. That's sad. Okay?
Yeah, he's denying sola fide, too.
Yeah, that makes
concerning.
Sense. That makes sense where he's going. Uh-huh, and he'll go further. If this is how it's going, he'll go further down and down and become, you know, he'll get worse. Okay? So.
Well, you have a good one, and God bless you.
You too, man. God bless.
Enjoy the sandwiches.
That's an inside joke kind of a thing. Okay, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get to Monte from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Yes, my brother, peace be unto you.
Oh, thanks.
I need a theological word for when Jesus, God, offers us salvation. Is that acceptance on our part or choice?
Well, yeah, it's both. We receive him. The word in Greek, in John 1:12, eleban, and it means it comes from lambano, and it means to receive. And so we're receiving Christ. We are trusting in him to accept, to receive. So it's fine to say you've accepted Christ, you've received Christ, you've trusted in Christ. That's fine. It's perfectly biblical.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So I could use choice, acceptance, or receive, then, properly?
Sure. Yeah, you can say people need to choose to believe in Jesus, and they do, and that they need to receive him and trust in him and his sacrifice. That's what I tell people. You need Jesus. Oh. You need to believe in him. You need to trust in him. And I talk, and I try and persuade them. And then God in his mercy, because I don't know how it all works, just pray during witnessing. I pray, Lord, open their hearts. Open their hearts. That they would receive you. That's what I do.
Receive. I like that. Yeah. All right, Brother Slick, you have a very Merry Christmas, my brother.
Hey, you too, my brother. All right. Well, God bless.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see. Next longest waiting is Leon from Utah. Hey, Leon, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, God bless you, Matt. How are you?
Doing fine by God's grace. So what do you got?
Man,
I'm sorry, what?
Hello?
I kind of lost you there.
Well, I'd just like to thank the Lord for your ministry. I mean, we appreciate everything you do.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, God gets all the glory. I mean, because if you knew what I was back in my early days, I deserved immediate judgment and damnation. But God's merciful. Amen. So he gets all the glory. Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. So I've got a question.
Okay.
My question is, I was trying to get a minister to an unbeliever, and he said he was a believer a long time ago. He was reading the Genesis and the book of Genesis, and he was reading the Bible, but he stopped because he said when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, he was saying that there was 12 tribes outside of the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. that were just waiting for him. And mm-hmm. he wanted to know, where did these 12 tribes come from?
Okay. So, hold on a sec. I had to clear my voice. And when he got kicked out, it doesn't say how long it was between that and other stuff. Got kicked out, but it doesn't say he got kicked out and then immediately there were 12 tribes out there or all these other nations. It doesn't say that.
Okay,
I'm looking for the verse. And remember, whenever anybody says something like this, always ask where does it say that? Then you always got to read the context.
Right.
And so what you'll find here is that after Cain killed Abel, then Cain was exiled and he went out to other cities. Now, that's probably what he's talking about. And so,
okay.
Where did they come from? You know, settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And, well, where did the people come from? Well, Adam and Eve had other children. It doesn't say that, it just says a man had relations with his wife Eve and conceived and gave birth to Cain. Okay,
yep.
And she gave birth to his brother Abel. It doesn't say they're the first ones born. So how long was it before? They lived a long time. That's all. And all the Bible is doing is just recounting specific things. If this guy thinks that Adam and Eve got out of the garden, they had Cain and Abel, they had the problem, and then they left, there's all these cities, well, he's got it wrong. It's not what the Bible is teaching. It could have been hundreds of years beforehand. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I had a fellow believer, he goes to church, he's a Christian, and he was trying to describe it to, I said, Lord, I need some backup here because I've never come across this question. And I follow. So the Lord was like, here you go, Leon. Here's another believer to back you up. And the other believer was saying, look, here's the Garden of Edra Square. And he said, this represents the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were in, only, you know.
Wait, Edra Square? That's what I heard. But that's like, what?
Yeah, like a square just representing the Garden of Eden.
Oh, he just like motioned it or whatever. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yep, like you would take a pen and a pen and write a square. He said, okay, this is the Garden of Eden. Outside of this Garden of Eden, and this is where it gets confusing. Outside of the Garden of Eden, you had 12 tribes, and they both mentioned Cain and Abel. And he was saying that...
We got to back up. You see, the 12 tribes didn't come until quite a bit later.
Right.
So it sounds like the guy's putting together stuff that's not accurate and then drawing a conclusion that is further not accurate and blaming the Bible for something that it's not teaching. Hold on, buddy. We got a break, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, folks. Let's see. We got a break. And if you want to give me a call, 3 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I just want to remind you that we're doing an end-of-year matching funds drive for the rest of December. If you were to donate, then whatever you donate will be matched. Remember, there's only about 2 weeks left in the month, so whatever you do donate will be doubled. If you sign up for $5 a month, it'll be doubled effectively to 10. If you sign up, if you already have, it'll just stay as it is. But if you donate $20, it'll become 40. Donate 100, it'll become 200. So just letting you know. And you can do that by going to carm.org, carm.org/donate. And all the information you need is there. You can even mail something in. And the address is at the bottom of any page. All right, let's get back to Leon from Utah. Leon, you're on the air.
Hey there, Matt.
Okay.
Okay, so, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I got a believer that's telling him this is where the Garden of Eden is, and outside of the Garden of Eden, there was 12 tribes
not
waiting,
true. No.
I guess?
No.
Okay, so they're both wrong.
Right.
Right.
Now, the thing is, when I'm with someone who says something that's wrong, which I pick up on quite a bit sometimes, I have to weigh whether or not I want to bring it up or not. Because it's not always wise to just jump in and correct somebody. That's not a good thing. But if it's heretical, okay, then I'll jump in. And this one, I would have jumped in. Because it can be very deleterious to a person's faith. You know, it doesn't add up. I say, well, I really appreciate that you jumped in, you got that answer there. But let me just tell you that a lot of people don't know this, but the 12 tribes weren't for a couple thousand, 3,000 years later. And so, and it also doesn't say when Cain and Abel were born, as if it was her first child or second child or 50th or 100th. It doesn't say. So it could have been a long time, and there could have been plenty of people out there having children, particularly when their genetics were so pure. And this could out, and you could have two, three, four, five children very easily. And you can have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds very fast within a few generations. Like, you know, I think with 100 or 200 years. And if Cain and Abel are born at that point, you know, it all would make sense. You see?
Right.
So.
Okay.
And that way, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I don't want to shame them, but if they're going to say something heretical that's really problematic, I try and correct them politely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, and then do you have time for one more question?
Sure. What do you got?
Okay. It happened today. I was asking somebody if they were a believer in Jesus Christ, and they mm-hmm. were asking me, well, who is this Jesus Christ? And my question is, where would a good starting point for them to say, hey, this is who God is. This is Jesus Christ.
This is what would you say? Let me hear what you would say. Someone says, who's Jesus?
Well, I'd say God is love. He's everything. He's the creator of everything. He's Alpha Omega, but sometimes they don't understand that, and would also tell them, I said, you know, he's pure love, you know. But
I'll tell you what,
I was thinking, yeah, you know.
Tell you what, because when they ask who Jesus is, my response would be, Jesus is, and I would explain. Because people want to know, well, who is he? I'm going to say, well, Jesus is the one who died on the cross for our sins. And he claimed to be God in flesh, the creator of the universe. I just go right to it. This is who he claimed to be, and this is what happened. He died on that cross, rose 3 days later. They ask about Jesus.
Yep.
They say, who's God? I'm going to tell them. God is the one and only true being who exists in the universe, revealed in Scripture, and manifested, revealed through the person of Jesus.
Absolutely. Short, you know what, Matt? I had the answer. I had the answer. And I was going to say Jesus died on the cross, but I felt like they don't understand that like you and I, like we do. You know,
that's okay.
And they're like, okay, well, that's
all right.
Yeah, you have to, it's still getting out there.
Yeah, I would do. You know, it just depends on the person's level, but you sometimes just don't know, and so you tell them the truth and say, "Does that make sense?" Or any questions about it, and I'll ask more. And they say, no, what do you mean God in flesh? Now I'll focus on that. What do you mean crucified? What's that? And I'll tell them that. And you'll find that this kind of thing is more prevalent because people are woefully ignorant now, even about the Bible. You know, what's the Bible? I don't know. It's some old book. That's how it is among the youth. They're that disenfranchised from our culture and the ways of the Lord.
Right. And what would your response be if they read? I said the Holy Bible. And they were saying, yes, I read the Holy Bible. I said, okay, what's your faith? They had no faith. No, I said, no Christian, no Catholic, no nothing. She's like, nothing. I read the Holy Bible, and that's it. Morning, evening.
Just read it. Yeah, and I'll tell people, read the Gospel of John. It's about who Jesus was in a special way. And because that shows his deity. And I said, read about him, it shows him in a special way. They might go, what do you mean special? You got to read it. Check it out. Because John records things that he saw with Jesus. Because that, you say, because he's an eyewitness. You see? Yeah, get people to read. See, it would probably take you an hour to read if you just read straight through, but you can read little portions and just see what it is and what you think. And if you want, talk to me here. Ask questions later. We'll talk if you want. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
God bless your ministry. I can't find words to describe, but I know you're running short, so please have a very safe and blessed Merry Christmas and to your family as well.
Well, you too, and thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay. Right. Appreciate it. Have a good day. God bless you.
You too, man. God bless. All right, that was Leon from Utah. We have four open lines. If you want to come and give me a quick call, 877-207-2276. Gary from Utah. Hey, Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, it's me again. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got?
Okay. Hey, listen, I ran into a situation lately here where, and I'm going to get your input on this, what Matt would do in this situation. Okay. You know how it's hard enough to witness to people who are supposed to be unsaved, and then people that you run into, like I did on this chat site, for example, that you can actually reach out, make new friends, etc., and it has live streams. Well, in this girl's profile, it's a female girl, and she puts, she's a God-fearing woman, she's got all these Bible studies that you can go to at such and such time, and she's in Nevada. And anyways, I noticed the live stream, though, when she was talking to the people, that she was using quite a bit of profanity. And then she was also supporting the rainbow flag.
So she was claiming to be a Christian and being very profane?
Yes. And then she was supporting the rainbow flag.
And homosexuality. And then what you do, I can give you some advice if you want. Okay.
Yes, please.
Is I would just go, remember Colossians 3:12, okay?
excuse me.
And it says, as those who have been chosen of God and holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving. It says, is your foul language, is your cussing, is it worldly? Is it godly? Or what? Is it fitting into, patience and humility and kindness? And see what she says. But also, Colossians 3:8. Now put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
One time, I was... one of the things you can say, put this way, someone is foul. I've done this before on social things where people are saying to be Christians and they're using their cussing. And I'll point them out. I'll say, excuse me, I can't tell any difference between you and the unbelievers in your speech.
Yep. Right.
And they'll say to me, well... Who made you the one who judges? I said, nobody. But the Bible says, Colossians 3:8, remove abusive speech. And shouldn't there be a distinction between you and unbelievers? But apparently, you're just like them in your language and your speech and your condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want you to think about that. As far as the homosexuality thing goes, I would just politely say, I don't see how you can be a Christian and support homosexuality. I do things like this because a statement like that, it's all emotional. It's all you're a homophobe, and I just return a favor and I say, you're a Christophobe. you're a homophobe. You're a Christophobe.
Right.
Yeah. And
there you go.
I just turn it back on him and say, look, I don't know what you mean by. Sometimes they'll say, well, what do you mean by homophobic? What does that mean? You mean I'm supposed to accept it? And if I don't, I'm homophobic.
Right.
Is that what it is? But what if I don't accept it? Is it okay for me not to accept it? Is it okay for me to say that I believe it's a sin? Is it all right? Well, who are you to judge me? Calling me names like homophobic.
Yeah.
So you see, we have a lot of problems out there.
Well, there's two parts of the Bible I was wondering, too, that this kind of fits in what we're talking about. You know how those of us that know the truth, that, you know, we know God's word, we know Jesus personally. Doesn't say, you know,
you're a little muffled.
Oh, okay. I know how the Bible says we are to correct those in error of the word. And when I was trying to do that before she blocked me, I was saying, well, you know, I was telling her some of the stuff you said, but then she said, well, God doesn't discriminate. And I said, no, he doesn't, but he hates all
sin. Yes, he does discriminate.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Discrimination, you have to understand what that word means in different contexts.
Yes.
God discriminates on the day of judgment, those who've trusted in Christ and those who've not trusted in Christ. He will discriminate based on that. See, what the people will... you understand, people want God to be what they want God to be. They want him to be on their side, who would never judge, who doesn't say anything bad, who accepts all people because God is love. That's New Age Jesus.
Right.
All right? And I say, no. Jesus got mad at people and overturned temple tables, called a brood of vipers. You whitewashed sepulchers. Your father, the devil.
Correct.
Yeah. And I say, no, this is what Jesus did to the people who were teaching false religious stuff.
That's true. I know your time is getting short. I got one last quick one. Is there different levels of suffering in hell, or is it just all one level?
Yes, there are different levels. Some will be with many stripes and some with few. Let's see if I can find that.
Okay, I got to let my brother know that, because we were talking about that.
Yeah, in fact, if you go to Karm, let's see, Karm levels or degrees, let's see, it's degrees, of punishment.
Degrees of suffering, right, for the most wicked or whatever.
Yeah, degrees of punishment, different degrees of punishment in hell. There you go. And the answer is yes, there are.
Okay.
And I've got
there's a lot of Bible verses in there.
Yeah, there's different scripture. Yes. Okay. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who's trampled underfoot the Son of God? Hebrews 10:29. Yeah, there's scriptures there. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I may have to do that when I get some more time. Well, thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome very much. Well, God bless. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Whoops. There we go. Sorry about that. And we're out of time. Jeanette, we're out of time. Please call back tomorrow. I love that name, Jeanette. It's a nice name. Let's talk about that issue, narcissism and Christianity, or narcissists and Christians. That'd be very interesting. Call back tomorrow, okay? Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you. By his grace, Lord, we'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. I hope you have a great evening. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.